Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. Today on the show, Eric Paschal has signed a two-way contract. The Timberwolves roster is now complete. We'll break down the Paschal signing, what he brings to the Timberwolves, how well the Timberwolves have apparently used their two-way contract slots this year, and also what does the front court rotation look like now, and how many different looks could the Wolves possibly have with so many different players at both the four and the five, different types of players. We're going to explore all that here today on the show. Welcome in. You are Locked On Wolves.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome into another episode of Locked On Wolves. The Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Monday, everybody. Happy first day of August. Hopefully you had a fantastic weekend. And a big thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. Of course, this show is free and available everywhere, including YouTube, as well as all of your favorite audio platforms from Apple to Google, Spotify to Odyssey. You can find this podcast anywhere. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and my account at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. All right. Some actual Timberwolves news here today on this, the first day of August. Eric Paschal signed, I think late Friday was announced first by Adrian Wojnarowski via ESPN that he'd signed a two-way deal with the Wolves. We're going to spend today's show mostly talking about that signing, what Paschal brings to the table, the impact that that could potentially have on the front court. Like, obviously, he's a two-way guy, right? So he's not, the design isn't for him to play a ton of minutes, but what does he bring? What does the evolution of the first 3 years of his career look like? And how does that improve the outlook or really the range of possibilities for the front court rotation for the Wolves? So we're going to break all that down here today, and that'll be the Monday show. Paschal, the signing was reported late on Friday. Wojnarowski first reported it, and then John Krasinski of The Athletic confirmed it. And I believe Darren Wolfson of Score North was the first to say that it was actually a two-way deal. Initially, when Woj tweeted it out, it wasn't listed as a two-way, so there was a window of, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes, an hour or so, where there was, you know, are they going to make a trade? You know, how are the Wolves going to handle this? Is, you know, I've been saying for a while, it wouldn't shock me if Nas was on the way out at some point in a trade. But ultimately, it's a two-way deal, and the Wolves maintain that same depth, but add another player, a useful player on a two-way contract. So we'll talk about that here in a minute. Well, actually, let's start there. Let's start with the use of the Wolves two ways. Then we'll talk about Paschal as a player. And then I want to talk about the potential for different front court looks and the versatility the Wolves have given themselves with the way that they've rounded out this roster. So first, in regards to a two-way, if you look at the way the Wolves have used their two-ways since it was implemented way back when Tom Thibodeau, I believe the first year was Tibbs' second year in charge of the Wolves, is when the league brought in the two-way deals. And it was, I think it was just one to start, and then it became two, I think COVID year, I think coming out of COVID as part of the new CBA that was being negotiated somewhere in there. I think it escalated to two ways. The Wolves have traditionally used one slot for somebody that's a bit more of an upside play and one for somebody that's maybe more of a sure thing, like an older player, somebody that the Wolves are pretty sure they know what they're getting. Now this year, the Wolves, what they've done, and there's a difference here. If the expectations are generally that this team isn't necessarily a surefire playoff team, take a swing, right? Sign somebody who's got some upside. So like the Clippers' former gopher Amir Coffey was on a two-way with them. He would be an example of somebody who I think they thought was a bit of an upside swing, but then turned out was mature enough as a player that he could end up filling in the rotation. That's one example. I mean, you see teams kind of use them in both ways. Those are the different types of two-way players. Last year, the Wolves had McKinley Wright, who I don't know how much upside Wright ever really had as a four-year college player or has for that matter, but he was certainly raw as an NBA prospect, right? There's a reason he went undrafted. And so the Wolves had him on a two-way. They also had Nate Knight, who was a two-way player the year prior with Atlanta and played in the playoffs and was somebody that played rotation minutes for a team that ultimately went to the Eastern Conference Finals. So the Wolves said, okay, we know that this guy can fill in and play some rotation caliber minutes for us in a pinch. And, you know, we're not going to be running out somebody who doesn't belong on the floor at the NBA level. They clearly did not feel that comfortable with McKinley Wright. He never played in a situation that wasn't garbage time, either way up or way down in a game, even when they were down both D'Lo and Patrick Beverley for a couple of games, it was just simply relying on Jordan McLaughlin and Jalen Noel, who had never run the point at the NBA level, to run the offense because they would rather do that than run out McKinley Wright. They determined he wasn't ready. Now this year, the Wolves have brought two guys in who should be ready for NBA action. AJ Lawson, we spent, I think it was actually last Monday's show, I talked to Sean Woodley of Locked On Raptors, who announced several of his games in the Canadian Elite Basketball League. So go back and listen to that if you want to know more about Lawson. But he should be a plug-and-play type guy with all of the experience he's gotten. You know, three-year college player, G League last year, Canadian League, Summer League this year. A bit more of a, certainly not a finished product, but polished in terms of age, general professional experience, and also what he provides, the position he's playing, right? He's not being asked to step in and run an NBA offense at point guard like McKinley Wright would have last year. And then Eric Paschal, we'll get to his actual game here in a minute, but he's played three full seasons. He was on the all-rookie team with the Golden State Warriors 2 years ago as a second-round pick, or 3 years ago in the 1920, the COVID shortened season. Of course, that was a bad Warriors team. That was the Warriors team that had D'Angelo Russell on it at the start of the year. Steph Curry got hurt, what, three, four, or five games into the season with the, I think it was the wrist or the thumb. They won 15 games that year. They went 15-50. Again, COVID shortens that season in March. And Paschal played for that team, 60 games. He started 20 games for the league's worst offense. Ultimately, Paschal gets named, or he started 26 games, I should say, got named to the all-rookie team. He averaged 14 points a game, almost five rebounds per game that season. And then was a part of the rotation the following year when they weren't much, I mean, they were better certainly, but they weren't the championship team that they were this past year. And then he goes to Utah, plays 58 games last year for a playoff team. A good team, 13 minutes a game in 58 games. So this is somebody who over the course of three seasons has played 158 NBA games, was a second round pick by one of the best organizations in basketball. And here the Wolves are getting him on a two-way contract. That's fantastic value. Before we even dive into what he does as a player, that means this is a player that two good organizations, Golden State and Utah, have valued. He was a second round pick by Golden State, who has a great track record drafting in late first round and second round. He won a championship in college at Villanova. And just like that profile of a player, that caliber of a profile of a player, getting signed to a two-way deal is incredible asset management for the Wolves to be able to get him on a two-way. And you know, there's nothing wrong with him as a player. Obviously, his limitations, which is why he's still out there, why he had to sign a two-way. But there's a reason why these teams wanted him. He's a valuable, you know, fringe rotation guy at the least in the NBA level. And it's just a fantastic addition by the Wolves. So what I want to do next is break down Paschal as a player, what he brings to the table, what he's done over the course of the first 3 years of his career, what's changed about his game. Because his numbers last year in Utah, the way he was used with the Jazz is very different than what he did with the Warriors prior to that. And then we'll talk about the front court rotation, the different looks that the Wolves are going to be able to have now with Paschal and the rest of the additions in the mix. So we're going to do all that here next. First, let's talk about our friends over at Built Bar. If you haven't tried Built Bar Puffs yet, you're depriving yourself of one of life's greatest joys. I know that sounds crazy, but I 100% mean that. Guess what? There's a new flavor. Delicious, indulgent cookie dough covered in chocolate. It's right. Built has done it again. Let me introduce you to your new favorite cookie dough chunk puffs. They are fantastic. They have a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks. And of course, they're covered in 100% real chocolate like all Built bars. They're absolutely fantastic. They are my new favorite, bar none, dead serious. It's all the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle of making it. Plus, it's healthy for you. Cookie dough chunk puffs are only 160 calories and they have a whopping 15 grams of protein in them. Run to built.com. Don't walk. Run to built.com to snag a box for you and the family. It will be the perfect treat, or you can find a really good hiding place and simply hoard them for yourself. Built actually sent me a handful of bars last week. They were so good, I immediately ordered my own box. So they're actually coming, I think, today or tomorrow. And I can't wait to get them. Like all Built bars, the new cookie dough chunk puff is covered in 100% real chocolate. That means they're healthy and they're tasty. Chocolate covered cookie dough with a light, fluffy texture. Delicious. And what's great about Built is that all of their bars are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you. You're going to love the new cookie dough chunk puff. If you just need a snack for your workout, a late night treat, or simply need a quick bite, Built is the perfect protein bar, and they taste better than a candy bar. I mean that. Ditch the calories, ditch the fat, and ditch the sugar. Grab yourself a Built Bar. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Again, that's Built.com, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your order. All right, let's talk about Eric Paschal and what he brings to the table for the Wolves. His profile as a player, so he's listed at 6'6", but he was measured at the combine without shoes at 6'6". This was 3 years ago. I think it was before they normalized all the height stuff. I think he's a little bigger than that. I think he's 6'7", 6'8". But still, the way he's built, he's 255 pounds. So he's more of a bowling ball type player. And we'll talk more about this next segment, but it's not the profile player the Wolves really have on the roster. So he adds another element in that regard, at least in his build. He's a pretty good rebounder for his size, for somebody who plays primarily power forward at, we'll call it 6'7". We'll split the difference there, call it 6'7". So he's a decent rebounder, but the rebound numbers have come down from his time in Golden State to his time in Utah. He was, let's see, his total rebound rate in Golden State, 100 games over two seasons, was a hair over 9%, which is not good for a power forward, but for his profile, for his size, it's pretty good. Last year, he was only 7.9%, just under 11% defensive rebound rate, which is not great, and the Wolves, of course, need rebounding. But he also spent a lot more time on the perimeter, not necessarily initiating offense, but kind of almost as a fulcrum at times with Utah. In some of their different sets, he's playing the four with Rudy Gobert at the five. He did a bit more passing on the perimeter. We did see his assist rate tick down just a little bit with Utah, but he also shot way more threes. So again, on the perimeter a bit more. In fact, over the course of his Golden State career, weirdly enough, less than 20% of his field goal attempts were threes. In fact, 19.5% of his shot attempts over 100 games with Golden State were three-point attempts, and he shot 30.1% from three. Last year, 46%, nearly half of his field goal attempts in 58 games with the Utah Jazz were three-pointers. So he more than doubles in terms of rate his three-point output, and his percentage improved to 37%. Again, 32.6% over 2 years with Golden State, 100 games, so not a really small sample, a reasonable one. But last year, he attempts more than twice as many threes per game, improves the three-point rate to 46%, and shoots 37%, which is slightly higher. The league average now is around 35.5%, so better than league average from three. So that is notable. I think it's important. And again, we saw the rebound numbers tick down. We saw the assist numbers tick down. The usage tick down. Remember, though, he was also two bad Golden State teams, right? So as a rookie, they won 15 games. He makes all rookie. He averages 12 plus points per game. He was asked to do a lot because they just didn't have, especially after the D'Lo trade and Steph was hurt. Like, he had the ball in his hands a lot. He played a lot. He had a usage rate over 21%. Second year in Golden State, really kind of more of the same. The usage was actually higher. The scoring output was lower. Roughly the same in terms of three-point rate, rebound rate, free throw rate, all that stuff. Goes to Utah, is used a bit more as a bit role player off the bench in 58 games. Again, the minutes per game goes down. The usage goes down. But the three-point rate goes way up. And the success from three goes way up. And that's really significant. Perhaps most notable for me is how good he is from the corners in terms of shooting corner threes. More than half of his three-point attempts last season were corner threes. Interestingly, in Golden State, over the course of two seasons, only 24%, so just under a quarter of his three-point attempts were from the corners. In 1 year at Utah, 51.9%, so we'll call it 52% of his three-point attempts were from the corners. He shot 41.1% on corner threes. So I don't know what the corner three league average is. It's certainly higher than 35.5, which is the overall league average from three. But I'd be willing to bet this is over league average from the corners. I'm guessing it's in the high 30s. So 41% from the corners, more than half of his threes coming from the corners. And you can see that happening quite a bit in what the Wolves offense is going to look like now. I mean, think about middle pick and roll with D'Angelo Russell and Karl-Anthony Towns, or D'Angelo Russell and Rudy Gobert, Anthony Edwards and Towns or Gobert. Those four guys in some combination are often going to be in the middle of the floor. Now, I'm not saying Paschal's necessarily, we'll talk about rotations here in a minute. He's not going to play heavy minutes with the starters necessarily. At least that's not the goal. But somebody's going to need to be spacing in the corners. Jaden McDaniels has shown, you know, some improvement in that regard. We'll talk, I think, specifically about corner threes at some point, because I think that's going to be, once again, an important part of the Wolves offense because of the natural spacing of playing a lot of middle pick and roll, you know, skip passes to the opposite corner, teams trying to beat the Wolves by being aggressive in the middle. In the middle of the floor, you need guys that can knock down corner threes. McDaniels has shown some improvement there, and they're going to need him to continue to do so as that fifth starter, right? I mean, outside of D'Lo, Ant, Kat, and Rudy, those guys are going to be the ones most involved in the action. So whoever the fifth player is on the floor needs to be able to knock down an open jumper and ideally put the ball on the floor and create for themselves and others. And Pascal, that's not his forte, but he can do that. He could put the ball on the floor. Again, he's built like a bowling ball. He can finish through guys. He can pass a little bit. He had a double-digit assist rate in 2 years with Golden State. So he can do a little bit with the ball in his hands. The issues for him mostly come defensively, and because of his build, he's limited defensively and as a rebounder. But he's got a pretty well-rounded offensive game. So, as I mentioned a little bit ago, the idea, the value of having Eric Pascal on a two-way deal is really great. I mean, you could put this guy, you could plug and play him. He's an NBA caliber player. You're not really going to skip a beat. And we'll talk about the differences between him and some of the other potential options at the four for the Wolves. But he does give them some elements that didn't exist previously on the roster. And if nothing else, I mean, you're looking at a guy, he's going to turn 26 in November, so a couple weeks into the season. He's got 158 games of NBA experience under his belt. I mean, this is a solid player, one of the most accomplished, if not the most accomplished, two-way signee. And if you're wondering why is he available for two-way, well, again, there are some holes. He's not great defensively. Yes, he's well-rounded offensively, but he doesn't do anything exceedingly well. You know, before last year, he was a below-average three-point shooter. So there's some risk there. Is the 37% from last season, is the 41% from the corner, is that real? Is that actually what he is moving forward as a shooter? But you're looking at a guy that's been on, you know, been in two good organizations, played some rotation minutes last year, and albeit a disappointing playoff series for the Utah Jazz. 158 NBA games under his belt, a second round pick by a good organization. All these things are positive. He is as good a find as you're going to have on a two-way deal. And it also just speaks to the level of talent in the NBA right now that he couldn't land a standard NBA deal because there's so many good players in the league. And I know that sounds like a really lame explanation for why he was still out there, but that's the only one besides him obviously still having some limitations. There's a lot of talent in the league right now. Teams aren't just throwing away roster spots. And Eric Pascal was going to make a team in one way or another. And this way, he knows he's going to be around this year. He's not on like a prove it, partially guaranteed deal. He's going to be with the team on a two-way. He's a valuable player that could be a valuable contributor when called upon in a pinch, which is what we've often seen with two-way players this year. I mean, Nate Knight played rotation minutes, started games for a couple of weeks, late December, early January, when COVID hit the Timberwolves. He was relied upon and did a good job, and there's a reason he's on the team on a standard NBA deal now. But Eric Pascal is going to be called upon at some point this year, and he's got the profile of a guy, the experience of a guy, and the skill set of a player who's going to have every opportunity and gives every indication that he'll be able to come through for this team. Okay, let's talk about the different looks that the Wolves front court now has and what they can bring to the table, or what different players can bring to the table in different situations for the Wolves. We'll close the show here with that. All right, by signing Eric Pascal, the Timberwolves have given themselves another option in the front court. There are so many different looks the Timberwolves can throw out there now. They should really be able to play. I mean, they could obviously play big. That's the plan. That's the starting lineup. They could play small. And they have small and I guess, I don't know, what's a normal size four these days, right? They have small and more traditional size fours that can do a variety of different things, that have different skill sets. So the Timberwolves starting lineup, obviously, Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert, the biggest front court we've seen in forever in the league, right? I mean, nobody's starting two, technically, you know, Towns isn't 7 feet, but two centers. Nobody's starting two centers. The Wolves are going to do that. They're going to play heavy minutes of Towns and Gobert together, and then they're going to stagger the two of them. So ideally, most of the 48 minutes in any given game, you're going to have one of two at all NBA centers on the floor, Towns or Gobert, and a good chunk of those are going to be on the floor together. So you can play massive. You can play big. You can stay big-ish, and play some defense, and have a longer defensive lineup. I mean, Kyle Anderson at the four, Gobert at the five, in a lot of ways could end up being a better defensive lineup than Towns at the four, right? Kyle Anderson's a better defender. Yes, he's not quite as big, but he's long, he's well-rounded, he can do some different things. You put Jaden McDaniels at the three. I mean, just take Karl Anthony Towns out of the starting lineup and put Kyle, I mean, you're not actually going to do that, but I'm saying, like, if he's the first sub out and you say you put in Kyle Anderson at the four, I mean, that's a really, it wouldn't shock me if that's the first sub and then maybe Jalen Noel's part of it too. But just for argument's sake, D'Lo, Anthony Edwards, Jaden McDaniels, Kyle Anderson, Rudy Gobert, how long is that lineup? I mean, we already talked about this on the show. Every single starter in the Wolves lineup is at least 6'4 with a wingspan of at least 6'9. I mean, Kyle Anderson adds additional size to that. I mean, obviously he's not quite as big as Towns, but the length and the defensive activity is absolutely, that'll play next to Rudy Gobert. So that's going to be your primary second option is you could have, you know, Anderson at the four, and in terms of having a big lineup that's disruptive, and then either Gobert or Towns at the five. I think Anderson next to Gobert is terrifying for opposing offenses. So you have your starters with Towns and Gobert. You have your second line, which is Anderson with either Towns or Gobert. And then if you want to stay big and replicate replicate Towns' role along with a big, Nate Knight is not massive, but he's effectively a center that's going to be playing power forward. He's 6'9 or so, but is a really good rebounder. Pound for pound, probably the best rebounder, you know, next to Gobert, obviously, on the team at this point. His rebound rate rivaled Towns and Jared Vanderbilt last year, was actually better than Towns, but rivaled Jared Vanderbilt last year. So you could plug Nate Knight in. I don't think he's going to play on a nightly basis, but he's an option against big teams. If there's foul trouble, put him at the four next to either Gobert or Towns at the five. And you get to stay big, replicate that physicality that you would have with Towns and Gobert, the rebounding ability. And that's an option as well. So they have the ability to stay big now, even if they run into injury issues injury issues. Yes. Hopefully not. I meant to say foul issues. On any given night, the Timberwolves could say, okay, Towns in foul trouble. That's cool. We have an all NBA center, Rudy Gobert. We'll play Kyle Anderson or Nate Knight at the four and stay pretty big, stay physical, stay good defensively. Both can still shoot the three, not obviously anywhere near the level of Towns, but at least in Knight's case, he's pretty good from the corners. Anderson's a little below league average, but can shoot the three. So you're not, you know, you're still able to do all of those different things. Gobert gets into foul trouble, you slide Towns to the five, you do the same thing at the four with Anderson or Knight, and you're able to stay big. And then Pascal's another level of that, right? Pascal's not quote unquote big, but he is a bowling ball and he can rebound a little bit and he can do a few different things offensively. He's this kind of weird in between, this bridge between playing big and playing small, if that makes sense at all. So let's talk about the small ball lineups. Jaden McDaniels is likely going to start at the three for the Wolves this year. Played a lot of four, especially his rookie season with Ryan Saunders at the helm, but a little bit the last couple of years as well, can play the four in a smaller lineup, right? So you could play long and athletic and fast and say, put Gobert at the five, McDaniels at the four, and you could go, I don't know, you could go Anthony Edwards at the three, Jalen at the two, Jalen Noel at the two, and, you know, whoever at the one, D'Lo or Jordan McLaughlin, or you go D'Lo and you have just a big lineup, fast lineup, D'Lo running the break with Ant, Jaden McDaniels, who did I just say at the three? Well, Ant at the, oh, Jalen Noel, McDaniels, Jaden McDaniels. Like, that's a long, fast, athletic, young lineup that can do a lot of different things. If you want to play small, you could also play small with Pascal. You could put Pascal's played some small ball five the last couple of years if you want to go really small. And there's also Torian Prince. We haven't really talked about him as well. He played a decent number of minutes at the four last year as well. So he's an option at both the three and the four. If the Timberwolves want to add some flexibility there, put Prince at the three or the four, you're playing a little bit smaller. Pascal's somewhere in the middle, and that he's not a great defender. He is small in terms of height, but he can play bigger. He can also, obviously, as we talked about, shoot from the corners. He can pass a little bit. Offensively, he reminds me a little bit of Torian Prince, just a little bit less athletic and less mobile, and he's not as good defensively. But offensively, I don't think he's all that different of a player in terms of what he brings to the table. So it's just another layer of, like, do you want to play physical, but maybe a little bit more offensive skill at the four, and you lose a little bit defensively. Pascal's an option there. So you can play massive with Towns and Gobert. You could play big with Anderson plus Towns or Gobert, or you can add in Nate Knight for some rebound and physicality, or you could play small with Jaden McDaniels or Taurean Prince at the four, or Eric Paschal at the four for a bit of a unique take on it. The front court has every possible combination, anything you could want. When an opposing team says, okay, we're going to try to dictate terms, the Wolves can say, all right, we're just going to stay big. I mean, obviously they're going to say that because they're going to start two centers, but the Wolves could start with, we're going to stay big, and we have the depth and the stamina in terms of our depth to stay big. If Towns gets into foul trouble, it's not going to completely throw us off. We've got Nate Knight, who I know isn't Karl Anthony Towns, but can play physical next to Gobert. Will essentially be a five in a four's body. And be able to play that physical brand of defense and rebounding and well-rounded offensive game, the ability to do multiple things. We can have Kyle Anderson plug and play at the four. We can have Paschal plug and play as a deep bench. You know, if we have somebody miss time due to COVID or injury or whatever, he can step in on the two-way deal and provide a lot to this team. The Wolves aren't going to allow themselves to be bullied around in terms of the types of lineups they're playing. They're going to play big all the time. And if Chris Finch wants to play small, he's got the horses to do it. He has the ability to go small. If that's what the situation calls for, and it's going to be up to Chris Finch to decide which games is he going to say, okay, yeah, this makes more sense based on matchup to go small, more frequently. You're obviously going to play a certain number of minutes every night anyway with Rudy and Towns together. But, having the option to do multiple things is going to be huge this year. And the way that Tim Connelly in the front office has built this roster, they have the ability to do that. And it's pretty impressive the way that this roster has been built out. It's the deepest Wolves roster. I was banging this drum a year ago, leading into last season, last August and September, how deep the roster was. It's even deeper this year. There's no question about that. So pound for pound, the best roster the Wolves have had. This is perhaps a whole other podcast, but it's deeper than the rosters of those Kevin Garnett teams in the early 2000s. It's just a deeper roster. Obviously, Kevin Garnett is better than any player on this team or that team. But this is a deeper roster, 1 through 13, we'll call it, or even go 1 through 15, whatever. It's a deeper roster than what we've seen maybe ever in Timberwolves history. Okay, that's all I have for today here on the show. Thanks again for listening to Locked On Wolves. Of course, you can find this show anywhere. Thank you to those of you that do make it your first listen every day. You can find us on YouTube, anywhere you listen, any audio platform. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon with two B's, two E's, C-K-E-N. Programming note, we are now three times a week for the month of August and I think about half of September. So generally Monday, Wednesday, Friday, that may switch up a little bit here and there throughout August. But still Monday, Wednesday, Friday, three shows a week. There's plenty to talk about as we get into season previews and the rest of the NBA. You know, who knows what happens with Kevin Durant? Who knows how the rest of this offseason shakes out? So we'll keep you up to date here on the show. So plan for another show on Wednesday. Make sure you're following or subscribed wherever you do listen to podcasts. Of course, the Locked On Wolves podcast is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. A reminder that you can make your second listen the fantastic Locked On NBA show. You can get up to date on the latest news and rumors around the league in just 30 minutes every day with Locked On NBA Monday through Friday. Locked On NBA, your daily NBA update in just 30 minutes. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.